Okay, this is the second follow-up interview with Mamadika Lydia Nsane. I hope I pronounced all of those correctly. And we have previously talked with her, and we're coming back just to talk some more about some of the issues that she had raised in the first interview. Thank you once again for making yourself available for us. We very much appreciate that. Okay. During the first interview, when we looked through this, the one thing that wanted to know a little bit more about, if you could tell us a little bit more about, is, which we didn't really cover, is what did you do when you were a child growing up on the farm? Just tell us a little bit about what you did when you were a child and some of the things you remember, the good things, maybe some of the bad things as a kid growing up there. Mm-hmm.
I was going to school. When I was 7 years old, I began to start to go to school, primary school there in the farm. And after that, I've mixed grade 1 till to grade 6. When I mixed at 5, I go to the another farm. It was the long kilometers per foot to go there.
How far did you have to walk?
Plus or minus 2 kilometers.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was from grade 5 onwards?
No, only just grade 5.
Just grade 5, just okay.
Grade 7, standard 5, sorry, yes. In our farm, I've done grade 1 till to grade 6.
6, okay.
Yes, grade 7, I've done it the next farm, till mm-hmm. in the next farm, yes. Till grade 8, I've done it here.
So you came to Ramalutsi for grade 8, okay.
Yes. But after I've finished my grade 12, usually at the farm, we walk at the field when you were young, yes.
So you told us a little bit about life on the farm, but I mean, as a kid, what was your, besides going to the school, what are the kinds of things did you do? As a child, then, when you were 6, 7, 8 years old, running around on the farm there. What do you remember?
In 2008 years old, before we about grade 7, and 2008 years away, and I got away. Like maybe both are like.
Never go para fail as well, but the parents are not just saying that small. Small kids, the players that always...
What were your favorite games? What kind of games did you play out there? Because you had lots of space, yeah? Unlike growing up in the town or in the city, yeah.
The what, the... What, Hachiji? I don't know. The skipping rope.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I was playing it. I like to play it a lot, yes.
And if you think about your childhood now, looking back, is there anything that you would change about it?
No. It was at the farm. The life was very good. I have enjoyed it, but it's just that there was no electricity, and yes. But our father was right, and he had the kettles. There's nothing. We have suffered not a lot.
So when you mentioned in when you talked to us previously that the farmer used to give the family food, meal and those kinds of things,
yes.
Was that enough to take care of everybody?
Yes.
So you just, the family maybe what grew other vegetables and other things, and then maybe some meat from your own cows?
Yes, we have their own cattles. My father was having his own cattles and the... The chickens. Yes, yes. And the pigs.
Okay, so your father was allowed to keep animals there on the farm.
Yes.
You mentioned also that at some point later, when the farm changed ownership,
yes.
that stopped.
Yes.
That the next farmer... how did that affect your family when that started happening?
It was very bad. So it was when we come back here. Yes. It was very, very bad.
Because it's, you know, oftentimes in rural areas, livestock like cattle and everything are a sign of wealth, a sign of standing in the community when you have quite a lot of animals. So was it something, when that began to happen, was it something that affected your father quite
yes,
a lot?
Yes, it was affected him quite a lot.
How?
Because the amount he was having, they cut the amount of the cattle and the amount of the salary, and they have given us the minimum. They give us 8 kg of the millimeter and the 25 sometimes. They have cut at them, and they also the millimeter. They pay the millimeter with their own pocket. They buy.
You mean your parents had to start buying millimeter?
Yes.
All right. And in terms of livestock?
They limited the livestock.
Before that, how many cattle did your father have? How many did he own? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but they were so many.
A lot?
Yes.
And what, when they made him cut, what did he do with the other cat? So he's saying, no, you can only keep maybe half of those, or what happened to the other animals?
He sold them.
He sold them?
Yes.
And do you, you know, just in terms of, you know, Dale was saying earlier, livestock is a form of wealth. When did that start to, did that change? Like now, if someone has many cows, does that mean he's wealthy?
I think, okay, you know, as life has changed, if you think about growing up on the farm,
yes.
In those days maybe, if your father had, let's say, 50 cattle,
yes.
He would be considered to be quite wealthy,
well,
you know?
Yes, yes.
And I think the question is, as time has gone on, in this community on the farms, are cattle and animals still seen as a form of wealth, or has it changed quite drastically?
It's changed quite, but they are two. In this days, they are too expensive. Not they are too wealth. Yes.
Too expensive.
To
buy them now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
And what about the land issue? I mean, places to keep the cattle. We see some people keeping a few animals here, yeah?
They also pay the land to keep, where you keep your cattle, you pay them.
Are there many people that you know here in Ramaluzi that still keep animals?
Yes, my brother.
And he keeps them somewhere?
Yes. Somewhere.
He rents a piece of land?
No, Masachenge.
He rents a piece of land to keep them,
yes.
Yeah? So it's still quite a part of people's lives, the community, keeping animals, and yeah.
Yes.
Do you yourself have any?
It's my mother. My mother have only. She's. I don't remember exactly, 4 or 5 of the cattle that remained. The one of my father, but they are there at the farms. But the other one in the farm, our relatives, they stay there. One of our relatives keep it for my mother.
Keeps for your mother?
Yes.
Okay. So it's sort of like an investment, huh?
Yes.
For some, when you need it, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
When you need it, when you sell one, you share with that person the amount of money.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What, just going back to some of your childhood, what are some of your favorite memories when you think back as a kid? What do you think of as your favorite memories of that time?
It's when I enjoy playing with my friends. Yes. Some of my friends, we are very naughty, and so I remember it correctly.
You're very naughty.
Yes.
Give us an example.
What kind of naughty things did you do? Please, if you want to speak in Sotho, please. Yeah, he'll tell you.
Go to Honal Banama Vane, Banabadula, Banabakana Skolo plus in Yaro on our farms, the other children's from the next. Go to Banabakana Skolo plus in Sedig A. So I think I was 4 or 5 years at that time. So Banabadula Mode stayed till the school. during the school during the kore ba ba dilo fela school be setso ha school se setso ja ba 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 dilo ba le balapido ba bona ba ba sna dijo ja ne rata ba qala ka mthwebe.
So it's like the other kids who are coming from the surrounding farms, they used to stay until maybe after school, and so we were trying to play fools with them, like when they were saying they are hungry, and then we
mocked
doing,
them.
They were mobbing them with that thing.
And yeah. we started to we always sing. We start the song about them. We sing about
you started singing
them.
A song about them.
Yes.
What did that song? What did do you remember the song? You still remember it?
Yes, I still remember.
What did it say?
The name of that farm was Trifley. Nerma Trifley. Nerma Trifley. Ah, la pile. The Trifley.
The Trifley
are
hungry.
Yes.
Okay.
They always say that.
do you feel bad about that now when you think about it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. When you moved, you told us you came to Ramalutsi when grade 8, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you stay here. When you came here, what? How was it? Life on the farm, life in Ramalutsi. How? Obviously, other than being in an area where there's a lot more people, how was it different for you to move into a place like this?
Because I was the farmer girl. It was not. I was not free for some. I couldn't get so afraid always.
Did some of the other kids make fun of you here, as being from the farm?
Yes, they treat when we are the grade 8, they treated us the. Beat us.
Yeah, they were beaten up by the. There was those the who found them at the school.
This location, that one, who was staying here at the location.
Just because you were from the farm?
Yes.
How did that make you feel when you were...
Very bad. Always on Fridays, I go home. We were staying with our relatives mm-hmm. here, and our parents, they were there at the farm. So every Friday, make sure that after school I go home.
But you made quite a, over time you made a lot of friends here, obviously, yeah?
Yes.
It started getting better.
Yes.
It was just tough
yes.
at first.
Yes.
Yeah. And how, for you, you told us also that, you know, even though you didn't have electricity out on the farm, you had food, you had plenty. How was
yes.
it like when you came here in terms of food, water, electricity, all those basic things for you? When you came to Ramalutsi. Yeah.
My father usually sent us the food. Yeah, yes, always.
Okay.
With the transport of the farmer.
Okay.
The farmer give our father the transport because our father was the foreman.
Supervisor.
Yes.
Oh, your dad was the supervisor.
Yes.
Okay, so he had some power, huh? Great. You also told us about when you were a teenager and when you were in high school here in Ramalutsi during the 1980s,
yes.
about the strikes, the students, and the problems and everything.
Yes.
And you said that there were quite a number of people or some of the students who died or were injured.
Yes.
How did you feel about knowing people who were, at the time, who were dying or who were getting hurt? And that did you know there were a lot of close friends of yours? Or were just people that
yeah,
you
just
knew
the,
about?
The children I know, some of them, they were the one that I been with school,
mm-hmm.
with school with them. So it was very sad. It was very sad.
Did you go to a lot of funerals at that time?
No.
No?
No. Where we have been stayed at that time, my, the person, the Abduamo, the brother, the, called the old brothers of that place, he was a policeman, and so they didn't want to see us. The one who stays with the police, they didn't want to see us. So they rush us immediately to to the farm, and the children of that of our relatives, we all would have gone to our parents' place, mm-hmm. the farm. Yes.
And how did your parents think about all of these things when you were involved? You know, when you were here in the high school, did your parents talk to you a lot about that?
Yes,
about they were being afraid that might something might happen to you.
Yes, they were so afraid, and we spent a lot of time staying at home, not going to school, so they were very worried about us staying there at school, at home, not going to school, back to school.
And you yourself, were you? I mean, were you afraid?
Yes.
Of what might happen?
I was also afraid. Yes. About the time was wasted not to go to school.
Not to go to school.
Yes.
Yeah. And how did, I mean, because of that, the boycotts, the stayaways and all of those kinds of things, how did that affect your own schooling, your education in terms of, you were away from school. Did you have to repeat? Did you have to go back again, take extra classes, things like that?
No, we have, after that, I think it was a month or two or three months. Yeah, after that, we have come back and go on with our during that year,
mm-hmm.
and go back. We have come back and move on with our classes, and so I have managed to pass. I don't know how. Maybe it's the help of God.
Maybe it's because you're smart. Because obviously, I mean, when I was reading through our talk, you obviously love education. You
yes.
like that. So it was something you wanted to do, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about how it was like when you were living with your relatives here. How did you go about studying? Did you have electricity in the home? Did you have a nice place to... Was it difficult for you to keep up with your work and to study?
We usually go at school. We have been studying at school. It was the study time. Can I use one? The
mm-hmm.
study classes, yes, at school.
Okay. You said also that
So, at home, you never used to study at home?
No.
Why?
We have been so many there, that place, the children.
How many were you?
It was my brother and my sister and me, and that relative's children, I think they were four. And the other outsiders, we have so many, maybe 10 or 11.
Then how big was the place?
It was the four room house. That one, when we come at the shops,
mm-hmm.
the first house in the shop, we have been staying there.
Okay.
Yes. My born again, Kwane Mangatla, officing in that first house, we have been staying there.
And when you... I mean, when you used to go study, where did you go study?
At school.
At school.
Yes, we have been there. There were morning studies and the afternoon studies.
Okay.
Yes.
And how did that, I mean, just interesting, because if you had 10 kids and then also the relatives staying there, maybe 12, 13 people,
yes.
in a four-roomed house,
yes.
how did that affect you, not just in schooling, but as a kid in your own, how did you feel about living that? Because from what you told us, and the farm, there was quite a lot of room, and there was much,
yes.
yeah.
There's nothing I can do.
She couldn't do anything because
I have enjoyed to do, because my brother was there and my sister was there, so, and we are, and that the owner of the house was the old mother. It was very nice, no, the grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you felt like just a big family,
yes,
there.
Yes, the girls were sleeping at their own
rooms,
and the boys at their own rooms, and we are so many, others on the bed, others on the floor. Also, my brother, they were having their own sleeping room.
And his brothers also, they were having their own room.
Their own room, right.
But I think it was in a shack.
Nel forum nyana maspala ya ne ko kwane.
Oh, there's only the forum house. So it seems like the others were sleeping in their two sleeping rooms, and the others were sleeping in the dining room, the others in the kitchen.
Nel ruwala ka fela mo the girls at their own sleeping room,
mm-hmm.
and the boys at their own sleeping room. Others were sleeping on bed, others on floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how was it in terms of your not just in, like taking, let's say, taking cleaning yourself and taking. How did you guys? Did you have a system?
Yes,
where everybody got a chance?
Yes.
Yeah. And what did that mean? You had to wake up very, very early in the morning. Yeah. How was that? How did that work?
No, we have been the timetable, cleaning timetable, and also. My brothers, we are all included there at that timetable. Yes.
What time did you get up in the morning when you were?
5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Just moving a little bit further into your when you were a teenager here and the things were happening, all the political things in the 1980s. You said that a lot of the reason why you also joined in or were part of some of those struggles was because people were feeling oppressed, yeah?
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about what you mean by that. When you say we were oppressed, how did you feel as a 16-year-old young girl here in Ramaluzi? How did you feel oppressed? What were you thinking about in terms of, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that, but I can't because of who I am? In other words, under apartheid, you know, because of the color of my skin. Yeah. Please feel free to speak in Sesotho if you want. Yeah.
That is why I started that.
They were feeling like oppressed because by that time the government or those who were in power didn't give them anything to do. But when it came to these things of the struggle, they felt that they must join the struggle because if they can do something, maybe like fighting for their own rights, those people will feel that these people they want this and that. Yeah.
Okay.
And this word oppress, in your own words, what does it mean to you?
Lentswe gatelo mantsweng a hao o le mong le tla le bolela e to her it means that by that time they couldn't do anything, so they were fighting for their own rights. And at school they were beaten up and doing the things that they didn't want to do them.
And so those, one, it was the denial of rights, and two, physically beating you.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you looked at that time, that was in the mid to late 1980s, when you looked at other kids, let's say the high school in Viljoenskroon or
yes.
the school there, what did you think about, here's us there, that's them? What did you think about that?
Presently.
No, when you were a kid at the time.
At that time?
Yeah, at that time, in the 1980s.
The other children?
Yeah, like the white kids and the ones in town there and the... Did you have any contact with any...
No.
There was nothing?
No, there was nothing. No.
Did you feel like you wanted to...
To know them better, yes.
Yeah?
Yes. And share the education with them, so we haven't get that chance to tell you.
Did you know any white children when you were growing up?
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about, was it, I mean, were you friends with them or?
No, it was the one from the from our farms, that the one she's there at our farms. So they, we have been so same size with them. So, but you know, at that time, the one child you, our parents, they make us to be afraid of them.
Explain to me what you mean.
Go,
speaking to them.
Bani masad, go bani masad, go hang, bani bam, go. I just that. Mungaplas. In the go bani bam sab, bani masab. In the boss ya bo na so bani bisa boss. So luru na huno sa ho hang huno sa batu kaba palay bana 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 plus index next next.
Yeah, the problem that they had by that time, which is like the farm owner. He was the boss of the parents. And he told the parents that the kids mustn't play with his kids. So they must, the kids, they must be afraid for the white kids.
And what were you afraid would happen if you played with them?
I didn't
know
what will happen, but as our parents were telling us that we mustn't play with them. So we were afraid of that.
Did you obey? Or did you do? Did you play anyway?
No.
You never did.
No, I didn't get a chance to play with them.
And later in your life, did you meet other white people that you became friends with?
No.
Today?
I saw up in the wall.
Even today, you don't have white friends.
No. Right.
So it's fun. Because it's just more miyaka sweet than the mahisi, mana sweet than the mahisi. Kete mone ba, mana mana ba lahanta he. Hisi mo in town, yes.
Where my mom used to work before in here in town, and the kids there were right. So.
The kids were cheery, mo no me wa kamo. Ma ana nga sa papa dele bon. The kids were too safe for the clean. The kids too safe for my mother to clean house.
Yeah, she used to go there, but she didn't get a chance to play with the white kids. But what she did, she was helping her mom to clean the house.
Okay. And just, I mean, not just for when you were a kid, but all the way through, that division on, along race, you know, the fact that you haven't been able to have, when you were a child, friends from, or now, other friends, how does that make you feel? I mean, in a country where it's clear that some people have a lot of things and other people don't have too much.
Go
Yeah, I mean, yeah, now as well. I mean, or you can tell us how it made you feel then, but yeah. Overall.
I just go to New Jack Sanata. I can't go to the Kyoto so which is go. I can't go to my mother's dream or not really fast. I can't get fast. I'm going to keep here a pillow back. I'm going to be here a pillow back. I don't mind.
Okay, right now, she's living her own life, and those who have, they're living their own life. So she don't mind of those who have. She don't have any problem.
But do you wish it was different? Do you wish you could have different kinds of friends, not just here, you know, not just people in Ramaluzi?
Yes, I
wish.
She do wish.
And earlier you were saying that I mean, remember also from last time that your mom was a domestic worker.
Yes.
And you were saying that you worked with her and used to go and help her. How did you find that work?
It was very difficult.
Why?
For one, because you have, she done everything at that place, and so she. They do go by the side next year. I can't analyze and tongue for born. and the soul. And at least both when coming to the food, whenever limited the and so whenever sa kono re so le kaba sebe le zaba pe le na pe ya ba slatu le zaba atli na nto. How do you whenever sa kono ba juju le na mall hojwe kafe le na sa hai di ba one side sabona di ba one side.
The thing that makes her feel that was difficult for her and her mom is that her mom was doing the whole house work and she was cooking, doing washings. But when it comes to lunchtime, maybe, they were not sitting with their mom on the table and eat together. Their mom's food was on the side, like after they have eaten all. And then it's when they're gonna give your mom food.
Okay, and to you, was that correct? Was that right?
No, that's not right.
Explain.
It was unfair. When somebody works for you, I think it will be better if they have taken her as the family or a friend. Because she was doing everything for them, so why just that sit there and eat with them on the table and share everything, not giving her the leftovers.
And why do you think they were like that?
I don't know why.
But if you were to guess, or what would your mom used to think?
My mother, because. She's old, and so, and me, I think it was the result of apartheid.
When you say the result of apartheid,
yes, I was seeing the result of the apartheid there at that house.
Okay, so they were very much part of the apartheid way,
yes,
of thinking,
and they were pretending. They pretend as if they go but pretend as if Fabana apartheid man go Luana fella why bona Luana.
What they're doing is like pretending as if they don't have apartheid, but they use to have apartheid because they were giving a mom the leftovers.
Yeah.
And just before we move off of this, if today, do you have friends that are domestic workers?
No, let me talk less with them with my easy, because you win. No.
But do you think it's changed for people who are working as domestic workers from what it was like for your mom?
No, who are not people eating is
IT. I don't know.
Or like, but one of my mom is not eating. But from Banabas is amazing when I was on our own, I paid 80.
No general, the ones that you prefer, like our salary bonus, a little bit, and get them more, and the busman lady writes. Banner lady, our rats about toil and cuts on. So get them more, you want to get a bit of the petrol and a certain thing, no general for the domestic workers.
What I see now for the domestic workers, there are a little bit changes. Because they've got hours to go to work and hours to live. And their salary is a little bit better. And they were also given the right. That's what I see.
And if you were to, if you, your daughter, would you allow her to become a domestic worker?
No.
Why?
Because it's a difficult work. It's too difficult to be. Be domestic workers.
Have you ever worked for a white boss? In other words, for a white firm, or have you always just been in the education after 94 and then?
No.
I've
just going. I'm one fellow who tried to help my mother. Not horrem switch uskawa email.
No, she was just going there to help her mom,
yeah.
So that the work mustn't be heavy for her mom.
Yeah, but
she was an assistant.
Okay.
But she herself has never
Never.
Never have worked for the right people.
Okay. Sorry, just we're trying to keep going through the life a little bit, so we're going back a bit. When you finish matric, when you matriced here,
yes.
What is it at that particular time that you wanted to do? What did you want to do? You know, you were now out of school, you've gotten your matric.
She wanted to be a cop, but because of, by that time, when you are a young lady and having a baby,
mm-hmm.
You were not allowed to be a cop. So that's why she failed. But she wanted to be a cop.
And why a cop?
Because of my height.
She liked her to be the cop.
The work that I like very much.
When you say because of your height,
yes.
What do you mean?
Or a little bit.
So why would that help if you were a policeman?
By that time, they wanted the people who are having maybe the same height like her. And then they were saying the people with the same height as hers, they can train, they can run, so they can catch the thugs.
Okay. Did you have any role model in your life, a cop that you because you liked some, you saw their work and you saw how it was and you liked that?
Yeah,
the younger brother where I used to say when I started to attend the school here in Ramolotsi, he was the same height with me, and I was seeing that they are doing a good job. But after they started killing people, I started to regret. Say, no, this is not a good job for me.
Okay. So when the political situation with
yes.
the cops became bad, you took that idea away.
Yes,
yeah?
I took the idea away.
And then what did you think you wanted to do?
That is when I go to the college.
Okay.
Yes.
So it was education.
Yes.
Things. Did your parents want you to do anything in particular? Did they say, we want you to do these kinds of things, we want you to be this kind of person?
Education, to be a teacher.
Okay. So it was they had wanted you also to be in education.
Yes.
Yeah. What did you, not just about what you wanted to do at that time, but given what we've talked about the situation, about white, black, and the racial discrimination under apartheid, what did you think was possible for you to do? When you look at your choices, when you say, I've got these choices in front of me, I want maybe this one. What did you think your choices of a career were?
What I wanted to be a cop. But after having a baby, I failed to be a cop. And after they were killed, they killed other people. So my parents, gave me money to go to the college so that I can be an educator.
Yeah.
And then to satisfy my parents, I went to the college. Yeah, any kid.
Okay.
And if you, like, you know, that just to get back to Dale's question, you say what you wanted was to be a policeman, but you failed because of a child and
yes.
how the police were.
Yes.
And then, you know, you decided to be a teacher because that's partly what your parents wanted.
Yes.
What else could you have done?
After that, I can't move learning. I can't move learning.
She went to the academy then doing for typing. Then after completing I was singing for a job. I wanted to be a clerk also at the mines. But I couldn't find a job at the mines.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've done the basic office skill there, the other skills there at the Academy of Learning. So I didn't manage to get that. I don't know it was the bad luck or what. But I've tried.
Okay. Now, when you told us that you had the child when you went back to the farm,
yes.
after you know you went back and you were working some piece jobs and
yes.
other things,
yes.
you had that child.
Yes.
Tell us more about how it was at that. How old were you then when you had your child?
Like 20 years.
Was it planned? Did you want to do this, or was it something that just happened?
No, it was just something that happened. After that, I got pregnant.
Well, what has happened? His boyfriend sent his parents to their home to make a request for a marriage. And then after that, it's when we have a baby.
And were you pleased? Were you happy at the time?
No.
No?
Because I... Before I've got the child and get into marriage, beginning something.
She was not happy because she wanted many things. So that she feel if I can have this and this, so I can be involved in marriage and maybe have a baby.
So when your boyfriend came to ask your parents to marry you, did you have any say? Did you, or were you feeling that it was not up to you?
I did agree because he was my boyfriend. But we are not going to get married at the same time. So what has happened is that we just have a baby. But what I wanted is that my parents should know that he's my boyfriend and I'm willing to marry him. And he's also really willing to marry me. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how that went afterwards. Did you got married?
Yes.
And how was that relationship for you with the father and the child?
It failed.
It failed?
Yes.
Wow. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that? If you want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, it would be interesting. Why do you think it failed?
I don't know. He was the... My friend. He was a cheater after that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So did you leave him?
Yes, I
you left?
Yes, I have left. But it was just a lobola thing.
Okay, so it was a traditional, more of a traditional marriage. Okay.
Yes.
You didn't have to go to the legal side for a divorce.
Yes.
Okay. And right after that, you told us that you went to this Academy of Learning.
Yes.
After that, from 1990.
Yes.
92. Tell us about that academy. We didn't talk to you really much about it. What was it like there? What did you do?
I've done typing, basic office skills, keyboard, yes.
Were you boarding there? You were staying at the academy?
No. Go on, I travel across academy to... It was in Klerksdorp, at Klerksdorp. So, Nikita Okni is traveling from Okni to the school there.
Every day?
Yes, every day.
Every day?
Yes.
Okay. And that was at a time, that 1990, 91, 92, when lots of things were happening in the country. You know, after... we talked a little bit about that after Mandela was released and all of the talks and everything else. How, as someone who was getting further education for yourself, did you now see new doors opening for yourself?
Yes.
Tell us just a little bit about what you were thinking at the time.
That is why I came here. I came here.
I've seen the doors open for me. So that's why I felt that I must be educated. And the reason is that by that time, most of the black people were starting to take the highest positions at the workplaces. So I foresee that even myself, I'll have the opportunity to enter any door that is open for me.
And when at the Academy of Learning, was it just black students or was it other?
Mixed.
It was mixed. It was very mixed.
Yes.
So that was your first opportunity to.
Yes.
How was that? How was that experience for you, being around other racial groups and being in learning with them and other things?
Different classes. So omulomona baba kogomuto group yung mulemun in the groups. Bana batla kana go ya bona ne batla ka yona ka yo kana go ya bona mana motho le itela fela for ntho ya hayo maybe o notla fela to study ya with a typing up a keyboard no type a keyboard no fuwe di ho na ntho na we tsaka kana go ka this way we type kana go itse ba o limitela na go itse o etsa fela fana go ba fa di max o tswa sa ma ene se ne re sa spend na go inga ta ho lo bo
by that time I felt it's good for me because we are attending school with different races. But the problem is, we are not coming at the same time as we used to attend the school. So we were coming in by times. Maybe she was coming 8 o'clock, you will come 11 o'clock.
Okay, so you were separated almost.
Yes.
Even then. Okay.
Yeah.
And how was it for you? I'm imagining that most of your instruction was it English, or what language were you?
Yes, it was English.
How was that for you? Did you know by that time English very well, or how was that to have another language and to work in English?
I was trying like now, even in school.
So how did you feel about a situation where these doors were opening, things were changing, right? But in some ways, the only way for you to move ahead was to use another language, not your own.
Yes.
How did that make you feel?
I was enjoying it.
You liked that learning,
yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So it wasn't an issue for you, no? And Afrikaans?
There was no Afrikaans.
No Afrikaans,
yes,
at all. Okay.
At college is where we have done it as a subject. Yes. As a learning area.
But not in terms of
yes.
the higher learning after you went. Okay.
And which do you speak better? Between English and Afrikaans?
I don't know. I don't know what I speak better.
But you speak Afrikaans as well?
Yeah.
How many languages do you speak?
Plus or minus five.
Plus or minus five?
Five different. So it's Sesotho, Afrikaans, English.
Xhosa, Sezulu, and Setswana.
Okay.
Sure.
That's very impressive. Now you told us also that after the Academy of Learning, then you went into the Sebokeng College, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about getting into there. How did you? It was a good grades. Was it? Did you have to have a certain academic qualification already to get there?
How?
Sebokeng
College. Sebokeng
College. We also Academy of Learning. But Sebokeng College, we have entered there with my certificate, standard 10 certificate, they count the points to enter.
Okay, so you had enough and you could... Yes. Now, what was the makeup? What kind of students were at Sebokeng College? Who was there? Do you know? From all over the country, from local, was it?
Yes, it was local. Many different... We have been from different... Some of them, they were coming from Soweto, different places. Yes.
So how was that exciting for you to be in a environment where there was lots of other... Yeah? How did that feel for you?
It was great. I was enjoying it and they were fine. They were fine. Some of them, they were coming from Lesotho, from Soweto. And most... They didn't know that from Soweto. They didn't know Africans, so I usually help them a lot with Africans.
Okay. Yes. And you told us when you moved from the farm to Ramalutsin school, you felt like you were made fun of as a farm girl.
Yes.
When you moved from here to Sebokeng, that's in a, was it like the same thing?
Yes, little bit the same, but because Sebokeng is very huge.
Yeah.
So much, but. Ono sa tswane ha ka lo bana se go ene tse ba tle tswana le fijone le lesbo ke mar go bana yana ne le golo so it's been a little bit of challenges.
Okay.
It was similar, but because of smoking is too big, there was a big difference.
And did you stay on the campus or did you stay in the community? Where did you stay?
Nugla tumba Singapore.
Nugla ka ke soso. I've traveled from by the bus from Sasol to Sebokeng.
By yourself or with family or who were you? Who were in Sasolburg? You in Sasol?
I was. Nikki really rented a room there. At
you rented a room.
Yes,
okay.
I rented a room there at Sasolburg by my own.
And how did you find being in a situation which was very different from what you had been, where there were many people in the community from, I mean, as you say, Sebokeng is a big place.
Yes, yes.
And there are people coming who've now coming from different parts did you say you were excited? Were you afraid of that kind of situation?
No.
No?
No. I was not afraid.
Not at all?
Yes,
okay.
That's when I started to make friends with other kids.
Okay.
Yes. And we have, I came when I was sick in Alangwana. And so lots of the people they were the adults.
When she got there, she was already having a baby.
Okay.
So most of the people who were there, they were also parents.
Yes.
So that's why I felt I can enjoy I'm enjoying the college.
Okay. Just a little bit at the time now that you were a young adult and you're a kid, what were things like at that time for your mother and father and family? Because they had already moved from that previous farm, yeah?
Yes.
And they were they had come into Ramalutsi, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So did you
employed
and you was the as the municip by the municipality?
Yes.
Wasn't he a
but listen, go pele hona go ye na go ke re college that worker was unemployed for that period, from January to I don't know, April. After that, cut from 70 years past here. But honorable Tatanya and Marilera Hono Cooper, when none of our moms made us with the garden in Mona, a drugger is a policeman.
Yeah, by that time, my father was unemployed from January, maybe until April or something. And then after maybe April or May is when he started to get a job at the municipality. But before that, my younger brother was working in Fulion School in the gardens, and my elder brother was also a policeman. So he's the person who gave me money to register at Sebuki College.
Okay.
So we had hope that he will assist me and my parents, even my daughter also.
So you have you've since you were young, you've had a very close family, huh? Have you all of you have been very close?
Yes.
So do you still see family? I mean, your family has gone through some. Your father's died now. He died several years ago. Other people, but it seems like when I was looking at your story, there's a lot of strength in your family. Yeah,
yes.
Is that very important to you?
Yes, very important.
Yeah, and your mother still lives with you now.
Yes.
Yeah, and some of your relatives. So it just keeps going. It just moves.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Tell us just what does family mean to you? What does it mean to you?
My family is the big thing in me. It's where I get love, care, protection, security, lots of things. And when I feel pain, when I'm at home, it's always everything is so easy for me. Yes.
Okay. When you you told us a little bit about after you came here and you're with your parents and you got you built initially a shack for the parents.
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about for you even as a young person at the time. What was that like for you to move from a formal house into a shack and having to live there for many years? How did that make you feel?
So it was not unhappy because it was always dirty, dust, lots of dust, and when the heavy rain, it was the storms. We have been always regularly tweeting.
Yeah, when we stayed in the shack, I didn't like to stay in the shack because, like, you can't keep the shack clean. When it's raining, it's leaking in, and when it comes maybe the August wind, it blows the whole dust into the shack. So you must keep on cleaning the whole day. So that's why I didn't like to stay in the shack.
And you had talked to us about how your father and mother had applied for an RDP house quite some time back, and it never came.
Yes, it never came.
Now that, from when I was reading through the story that you were telling us, that was the first time for you, I guess, maybe, where you had interaction with government, with trying to get something from government, yeah?
Yes.
And tell us about that experience. How did that experience affect you in terms of your understanding of what government was about? Is that, do you understand that question?
Yes.
Go.
Yeah. Like Hanelin Kalawa brother RDP. Kina gonel Kalawa le
contact the government.
So on Tuesday hore lebele ho le nthwele batlang ho tsomuso. Elala amazwang ha ho le jwang ha le sagala fumana ntini le kopa ka pe bana ba tsipiso re batlale tsae. Ho tso ho bo.
Kile ka bona e le unfair go government gore e se ka re haela RDP house, hobane lots of the people here in Ramolus, even the rich ones, they stay in the RDP houses. So.
But what did that make you start? That was at a time when the government was changing, yeah? Yes. It would have changed, it had become a black government instead of a party. Yes. So how did that make you feel as a black woman who needs assistance and your family needs assistance and, yeah?
As for unfairness, I've seen the unfairness.
Unfair. So how did you who did you think was benefiting? Who did you think was benefiting from those programs? You want to change now? Okay.
No.
5 minutes or now?
No, I've got 1 minute.
Okay, so let's just pause. So. Okay, we just took a small little break there. We're back. Tell us a little bit about your since you moved here and built this house. You told us about how you built this house with the father's your father's pension money and other and what he got paid out and everything. About life here in Ramaluzi with your friends and not work, but just social life. Your social life here.
I don't have these close friends. Everybody's my friend. I don't have a close friend. I don't have the close friend. Yes, I cannot have close friend Mona Ramuluzi. But everybody is my friend. From this, he said our neighbors, they are my friend. But I don't have the
yes.
Someone you hang out with a lot.
Yeah. When I go out. I go out only for the reasons, not just to go and visit somebody.
She's not a person that who likes to
socialize,
to walk around, but she enjoys to stay at home. And when she maybe take a walk, is when she goes to the church.
Wow.
When she come back, and she went maybe to some relatives for their reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but. She don't have a friend, a close friend to hang on.
And
but
anybody?
I don't have, I don't have, I don't have a close friend. Or they are all my friends. I don't have any enemies. I keep the quarrels. No, everybody, I love them equally. No?
And what about any friend that stay somewhere besides Rumble? Maybe from your college days or from that you met, do you visit people at all? Did you go out of Ramaluzi?
Like, but who don't want to go to college?
I go to the functions that are in Bom Sebetsing. During the Har Bom Sebetsing, Baba and Baba, but in Bom Sebetsing, some of them we still working with. They are still my colleague at Abed. So we meet with. Certain functions.
Functions, okay.
Yes, at the work. Only just. Okay. When I want to go out of Ramaluzi, I visit my sister there at Lexdorp and my brother at Virginia.
Okay.
Yes.
So the rest of your family there.
Yes.
All right. And we never asked you about. Do you have any hobbies or things that you like to do in your spare time? You know?
Yes, I like to watch TV, listen to the radios. I can't even feel it in love.
What kind?
She said you, yeah.
Yeah, what kind of programs do you particularly like?
The soapies.
You like the soapies?
Yes, and the talk shows.
Which soapy is your favorite?
Generations.
Generation, okay.
Yes. Le Movango is my favorite.
Movango, right.
Yes, and the Seven Delant, I like
okay.
Very lot. Yes.
Okay. And music?
Music, gospel, only gospel.
Gospel.
Yeah.
Okay. What church do you belong to?
Universal.
The Universal
yes.
Church of Christ. Is that the Church of Christ?
Yes.
Okay. And that's very important for you. The church.
Yes, yes, yeah? It's very important.
What kind of role do you play in the local church here? What, other than going on Sundays to the service, are you involved in any other things
choir.
With the church?
I'm a choir. sing the choir.
You sing at the choir?
Yes, the church choir.
Does your choir enter? Sorry, just does your choir enter any competitions?
No.
No?
Yes. Well, we just sing there at the church on Sundays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, and you enjoy that. Okay. And you said you do hang out and quite a few things with fellow abbot teachers.
Yes.
What kind of things do you do with them? What kind of functions do you attend?
We attend the workshops.
Okay. Do you get together socially though? I mean, just to
no.
have a party or any, you know?
No. Usually we attend the workshops, and then after the workshops we do return back home. Yes.
Okay. Right. You talked to us also about some of your own attempts to organize the teachers and to get better working conditions and better salary. You know, you talked about you'd written some letters and other kinds of things like that. What we didn't talk about though is the outcome of that. Has that produced any good results?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The conditions have changed at work. They pay us. They still pay us according to our hours we have worked,
mm-hmm.
but monthly we get. They calculate the month, the hours of the month. They calculate the monthly. No matter the holidays, from January till to December. When was our patala in December?
I got it. Yeah. So, and that's a change from what you told us previously.
Yes.
That was one of your grievances.
Yes.
Why do you think that changed and you were successful to get that? Yeah?
I think it's because of that the forum here. Yes, because they put pressure. Yes.
Okay.
With the government.
And one of the other things you were saying was that you weren't getting paid for preparation. Has that changed now?
Yes. Everything's changed. Kuruba.
So you get paid for preparing also for class?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now it's almost like a regular monthly salary.
Yes. It's a regular
irrespective
basic
of,
salary.
Yeah,
yes.
that's a basic, and that makes a big difference for
yes.
you.
It's not so bad, but 4 point something. It's a little bit from 3,000 mama. At least a lot of changes. At least.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's been good. And have you seen a change, not just about those things, but you previously talked to us about how a lot of the officials were very, petty. You know, they would just, these little things,
yes.
threatening, no, you haven't done this. Has that attitude begun to change as well?
Yes, because they send us the letter before they come, they send us the notice about. So resign that letter. Maybe within 2 weeks, before 2 weeks, Barbara Bata, resign along all the way.
So they send something like a petition or a notice letter that is telling them that their leaders are coming before
2 weeks.
Within
before.
2 weeks, right?
Yes.
So before that 2 weeks, they sign that petition. To prove that they agreed, so that their leaders are coming.
And was this just about teachers here, or was it in other places as well? Did you have a group of you, like in Kronstadt, in
yes.
other places?
Yes.
So you were all together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And one thing that I just wanted to know here is, you also talked about how you take your job very seriously. Yeah, you prepare, you enjoy it, you can see the results. How do you get assessed as an abbot teacher?
The supervisor visit, make the class visit and assess.
And what do they use to assess? What kinds of things do they say? Have you done such and such? What?
Preparation, all the work you have prepared. How do you teach in the classroom? The work you manage to do your work well,
mm-hmm.
and you you've reached your goal or what, yes.
Okay.
Of that day, the children, the learners, they understand. You know your work. You know how to do the work. They assess that.
And you said most previously. You told us that most of your students are pensioners and older people. Is that still the case?
Yes, they are still the pensioners.
Still the pensioners mostly.
Yes, and the one boy who is disabled. Disabled schools because on a Salmo Hall, so they refer him at the Abbott first.
And one disabled boy.
Okay.
He used to attend at the disabled school called Patalazan.
Right, yes, I know.
So, because he was older than the others, he transferred to the Abbott school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because of these changes, or as a result of these changes, do you feel now that your worth as a teacher has been recognized more? Because that was the one thing you were telling us previously, that you felt that you were being left behind.
Yes. I feel changes and I enjoy ho na le ntshetseng tse o tlebisang kae kae ha o se mosebetsi wao hantle jwale because of these changes ke etsa mosebetsi wa ka hantle free hantle.
Yeah, she feel that now she's free to do her because of this change that has taken place. So when she must go to work, she don't have any doubts. She feel that I must go to work.
I enjoy.
And she's enjoying the job.
So you're previously sort of told us that your goal was to become maybe a primary school teacher.
Yes.
Is that still the case, or are you more satisfied with the things?
I like the small ones very much, and I have the special love for that. I'm still looking for a job. That usually, they at school says a platoon also. At that school we have a platoon. They usually ask if somebody's sick there, they ask me to come and help them. Yes.
Okay, so you fill in
sometimes
for the other teacher, primary school teachers.
Yes, but just for volunteer, I help them to volunteer. I volunteer there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for free because of the love of how I am.
And now that you're looking at the educational system as a whole, I mean, you're obviously having success in teaching older people how to read, how to write, how to do these things. How do you see your students benefiting from what it is that you're teaching them, outside of just being able to do the basics? Do you think it's going to assist them further?
Yes, because my learners is they didn't know how to read, how to write their names. Their aims was to read only. They have only one vision they only want to write to know how to read the Bible, so they can read the Bible and they can write their own names. So
it makes a big difference for them.
It's a big difference, and they enjoy to come to school. Yes.
And just on another issue, now that you're getting paid a little bit more, how are you? Are you coping better financially?
A little bit, yes, so at least the entire balance, the balance, does got
a little bit just right, and things are balancing.
Yes, a little bit. Lisa, how bad is your capability?
It's not bad like before, because she can balance now with things.
And have you found that the prices of things have been increasing?
Yes.
Give us an example.
Poor for many meals, it's too highly on electricity. So the electricity, on the unit is a thing that's just one.
And yeah, and the other thing is the price of the mini-mill is too high, even the prepaid electricity. The units are not similar as before. Are not the same as those.
You're paying more before. Per unit.
Yes.
No. And how about you? You told us your mother still suffers from asthma. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah? How's she doing?
She's fine. She's still good. No, Jelana wants some treatment. Yes, she's go for the
she's
treatment.
She's still attending treatment.
Presently now, this day she goes there at PEX, at the clinic, for the treatment today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jelana Alice, see you so.
No, she's not here now. She's gone there.
For the treatment.
And your child? How are things for your child?
She's in grade 12 now.
Already in grade 12?
Yes.
So she's almost moving on in life.
And she's the one of... She's top 10 at school. She's studying every Saturday there at Potchefstroom University. Every Saturday, the government. I don't know.
So, did she talk with you about what she's wanting to... What her dreams are, what she's wanting to do? What kinds of things does she tell you?
Yes. She likes to... She says she wants to be an electrical... I don't know about electrical...
Engineer?
Okay. Yes. Because she's doing math and science.
She must make you quite proud, huh?
Yes.
Yeah? You're proud of her?
Yes. Too proud.
And do you see... What kind of future do you see for her? In the coming... Now she's moving on. She's almost... finishing grade 12.
But below.
Yeah.
When you look at your child's future for her, what do you see?
Now for her, I want her to be a pilot, but she refused to want to go.
Why a pilot? Why a pilot?
It's the work that I like for her. Yes. But she doesn't want to be.
Okay.
And if you look at your parents' life, and then you look at your life, and you think about the potential of your daughter's life, are things getting better?
Yes, there are lots of differences. Yes, they are better. My corona, my life mixed with the some sort of mixed with the apartheid. Born my child, they are now free. There's lots of differences. And the gap is whole. Not Han Huida Hono Luan's apartheid in the affair like I guy, but in the binding like I guy. Yeah, and Han and next to me binding for apartheid. Oh, we get a good school physique free. Skanu chena zalka ya pochi zalka disathadi batlo khona ya pochi batlo free so ke bona hulu beter hona le di hulu beter
for my side.